average age.
And we today have over 50,000 people coming into our country from other countries illegally and are slaves into the sex industry. And all that is what? It's all increasing and increasing and increasing. And I also want to say to you that, and I think pretty accurate, 74% of Americans say that they know that the state of moral values in this country is getting worse. What percent know that? 74%. So it's not something people don't know. People know it's intensifying in its degree and its repetition, and many of the areas are growing. So this morning, I want to ask you a question, because not only is it around us, I think we all have to ask the question, what is the sin in your own life that besets you and causes you to lose your footing in Christ? We all have to be able to answer that, because it's not just a world issue. Amen. How many know it's a personal issue? How many of you know the sin that so easily besets you? Like, say, Pastor, when you said it, I already know what it is. Do you know? Okay. How many of you don't know what it is? Like, you live life and you're in this huge amount of turmoil, but you have no idea, like, why you're in such turmoil. None of you? Okay, I know some people, they live like that. They're not really sure. And all of a sudden, they're finding their life's a mess, and they're not even sure, like, how they got there. But 71.4% of Americans said that they do know that. And so, I really want you to look at your own life this morning and ask that question, because we have to be able to answer that question. What is it in, what sin in your life throws you off, so easily besets you? I really want to say today that we're in a spiritual battle, and the battle is intensifying. So the question we know and we have to ask is then, if the battle in this country, in your life, in my life, is all intensifying, then the question has to be, what are you doing about it? Amen? What are you doing about it? My hope is you're not putting your head down. My hope is you're not throwing up your hands and quitting. And my hope is that if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're not so overwhelmed with it, you're saying, I can't handle anymore. I'm going to put my head in the sand. That is not the right response. Amen? For God's people. And so, I want you to say no. And so, there are a couple of things we need to know in this spiritual battle. One, you got to know who God is. Amen? You must know who God is. And number two, you must know who the enemy of your soul is. You must know it. If you are in a battle and you don't know either one of those, you will lose. Hands down. Hands down, you will lose. I really believe that this right here is so critical to the believer in the spiritual warfare we're in. And that is victorious and obedient life. You have that? You are a victorious Christian. You are an obedient Christian. How many of you have that, like, right now? You're both of these. If you are, they flow. How do they flow? One, flows out of your relationship with God. No relationship, defeat. Correct? You are losing all the time. Your life is in constant turmoil. Number two, it flows out of the, you know who your enemy is. Yes? And the third thing, you know that you know that you know, is that you adhere to the biblical strategies which God told you to do, and you're doing them. It's like the offering I gave today, giving. You know what to do, you're doing it. You're obeying God, because you know it. And that all flows back into what? It all flows what? Back into victory and an obedient life. And what comes out of obedient and victorious life? Deep relationship with God, knowledge of our enemy, knowing who God is, and then obeying what God tells us that says in the Bible. Y'all, how many understand how this works? Y'all get this? This happens to who? Everybody. Why? It's a relationship. Y'all got that? And my heart for you, in the warfare we're currently in, as it's intensifying, this needs to intensify. This truth that you're seeing here needs to intensify in your life and in my life and in the life of the church. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. It is so, so important. And so this morning, title is Spiritual Warfare, Exposing the Enemy. And really, I want to talk about that today. One, you know who God is, and you know what God has done for you, and you stand in what God has done for you, and you obey what God tells you to do. And the second is, you need to know your enemy. Hands down, you must know your enemy. And so this morning, as we start, and we know the intensity of this battle, we know it's taking place in our lives, in our families' lives, we know it's taking place all over the country, all over this world. So I want us to begin today by opening up our Bibles to 1 Peter 5:8. Because in 1 Peter 5:8, we're very clear about what's going on. Very, very clear. Y'all have that? First is what? Peter says, be on guard. Be alert. Your enemy, who? The devil, is prowling around like a what? Roaring lion. How many know that? And what is he looking for? He's looking to devour somebody. So can we go over these? Five things right there we need to get. The first one is what? You better stay on the alert. Is that not what the first word says? Be on the alert. Be vigilant. I think a lot of people, how many of you can look at your life and say, there's been downfalls and things have happened to me. And I say to you, well, why did all that turmoil happen to you? How many of you would say, Pastor, because I didn't see it? I wasn't ready, correct? Would you not? I would say that. I would say I fell here because I really wasn't on the alert. And why did you fall? Some of you are not on the alert. But the Bible teaches what? You better be on the alert. It's not an option. The warfare is intensifying. So I really want to encourage you. Stay on the alert. Although I see it in the church all the time, it really upsets me. The average Christian comes to church, hears the word of God, and you know what they do? They sit back and they relax. And they go, gee, we just heard about being on the alert. Then they walk out. Guess what? It means very little to them. So they walk out, and now they are in intense spiritual warfare where they have an enemy trying to destroy them. And they hear the truth and they go, yeah, I heard my Bible today. I read that. And you walk out like everything is okay. It is not okay. You are entering into a spiritual battle. And you, when you leave here, you better stay on the alert. And all God's people said, amen. Stay on the alert. Don't be that Christian who comes and sits and hears a little, gets your ears tickled, right? I mean, oh, people want to come to church, get your ears tickled and then leave. Yeah, you're going to get destroyed too. You need to be on the alert, number one. Yes? Number two. He says, be on the alert. What? Your enemy. Do you all know you have an enemy? Let's be clear on this. Do you know you have an enemy? Do you know it? And he wants to kill you. And he wants to destroy you. And he will do anything possible to destroy you. But be clear. You do have an enemy. Who's the enemy of Satan? Every believer in Jesus Christ. Every believer in Jesus Christ is an enemy of Satan's. He's fine with non-believers. You already understand that, right? Why is he okay with non-believers? Because their life is over anyways. They don't believe. He doesn't need to do anything with them. They are already defeated. So who's his target? You. Why? How many of you know you have an enemy? Amen? Never forget it. That's why people come to church, they hear it, they walk out, they're good. You are not good. You got an enemy. Amen? Wow. It's an adversary. And the adversary is God's people. The third thing we know is what? You know his name. His name is what? Satan. Be on guard. Your enemy, and what's he call him? Satan. The devil. The Greek word here for devil, diabolos. And I really want to say to you, he's real. You understand he's real. Listen to the statistics. I just gave them to you. Look at your own personal life and areas that your life and your family are being destroyed. You have an enemy. I have an enemy. And one of his key strategies is minimize that Satan is real. I mean, I hear it all the time. I hear this among Christians. I'm not sure I believe in Satan. You got to be kidding me. He's your enemy, and he's going to kill you. You know what? I believe he's at work in some people already because some of them don't even believe that they have an enemy. But the Bible teaches you do have an enemy, and his name is Satan. Sounds like the word diabolical to me. That is his nature. Nature is to destroy. But I think, what a strategy. Imagine if Satan could come and try to convince God's people there's no Satan. Yeah, there is. There's Satan. He dresses up in a red suit. He wears horns. And so we look at him with the horns, and then we all go and we laugh, right? That's the Christian view of Satan. I want to tell you, he's alive. He is your enemy, and he will destroy you. His goal is to destroy you. Amen? Never minimize him. Never take him for granted. Never just, oh, I'm in this warfare and it's all going to be okay. I'm casual. You better not be casual. Your casualness, you will be destroyed spiritually. He's always, number four, what is he doing? He's always what? He is like a what? Roaring lion. And tell me what he's doing. Looking for anyone that he might be able to devour. So what's he doing? The enemy of yours. He's going around and he's looking for who he may devour. Wow. He's actively doing it. How many already know all this? You say, Pastor, I already know all this. Okay, good. I just want to remind you today. You better stay on the alert. He's a roaring lion. He's focused on his prey. I always think of that too. How many know he's always focused on his prey? I figure all the Christians are his prey, right? Because he's an enemy to us. But I always like to think of as believers in Christ as a group of people who are together. Amen? We stay together. We love each other. We work together. We give. We do everything for the Lord together. But you got an enemy, right? And what's the enemy want to do to a lot of believers? Isolate them. Have you seen it? I see it all the time. Isolate the Christian. And why would he want to isolate you? Because he will destroy you if he can isolate you. Do you know how many Christians in the unchurched say they are Christians, but they don't go to church? They say their church is their house. Your church cannot be your house. Who is your pastor? Where is the deacons? Tell me who your elders are. So many people say, well, I stay at home. That is not your church. You are being isolated, and let me tell you what's going to happen next to you. You will be destroyed. Why? Because the strategy is what? Isolate them. Think about it. What if you were a pack of deer, right? We were all a pack of deer. And we were walking together, and we were serving, we were doing all this stuff, and all of a sudden, one deer starts to go off. Where's Satan? You ever see those movies? The kingdom movies, right? Satan, the enemy is what? Watching. The lion's always watching, right? And now that one deer strays away. Tell me, what does the lion do? He goes after that deer. He's going to kill that deer. That is exactly what's happening in the Church of Jesus Christ. I see it all the time. People are separating from the church. They don't have a high value of church or community life. They separate themselves. They go their own way. You are on your way to destruction. You have a roaring lion. What? To you. Seeking to who he can devour you. And if he can isolate you, he will devour. And all God's people said.
Amen.
It is serious. And so he isolates and devours. Amen? Wow. And finally, tell me what he does. His purpose is what? His purpose is to seek whom he may devour. He wants to destroy you. You all understand? How many know he wants to destroy you? You all get that? What would he like to destroy? Your testimony. Write it down. What's he want to destroy? Your testimony. Some of you are in positions where you're around other people and you're influencing them for God. Why would he want to destroy you? To destroy your influence. Do you understand this? Your power, your influence, your testimony, your character. He will go after it. And he will destroy. Amen. And all God's people said, amen. Wow. So what? Be on guard. Your enemy, the Satan, prowls around like a roaring lion and he is looking to devour you. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. It's pretty serious stuff, amen? I don't know how you go home and say you're good. Well, I came and I heard the Bible, and Pastor said a few things. I'm just going to relax. I don't think so. It won't work that way for God's people. Amen? Why? Because you are in a spiritual battle. And it's getting more intense and more intense and more intense every single day. Let's open up our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Go from Peter to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6 is a powerful chapter. As we know we have an enemy, we also know how to win the battle. Amen? In Ephesians chapter 6, God directs us how to win the battle. So we follow his word to the T. To the T. He speaks in Ephesians 6, starting with verse 10. He goes all the way down through verse 20. And he designates, let's go to verse 12. Our struggle is what? Don't ever mistake this. Your struggle is what? Not against flesh and blood. How many of you are looking at your stuff down here saying, I'm in a battle and I'm thinking about it, it's flesh and blood. It's not flesh and blood. Do not be deceived. Right? You all know that, right? You are in a what? You are in a spiritual battle. It might look like flesh and blood to you. It is not flesh and blood. It is what? Spiritual battle. And then he says, struggle is not against flesh and blood. Here's what it is. It's against what? Rulers. Authorities. Powers of this dark world. And against what? Spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Five times, one word is used. Y'all know what the one word is just in that scripture? Tell me what it is. Five times. I know you got it. Five times. What's the word? Five times in one verse. Against. Opposition to. God's got a plan. But you have an enemy. And he is against God. And he is against you. And never minimize his power. You minimize that? What's his power? He's got what? He says rulers. He has rulers. He has authorities. He has powers of darkness. He has spiritual forces against you. Don't ever go around. Some people say, oh yeah, I got it all done. I'm fine. I got Satan under my thumb. I'm like, you better be living one obedient life to be talking like that. Amen? You better be submitting every single day of your life. You better be a man of prayer. You better be on your knees before God 24/7 to say stuff like that. Amen. Don't ever minimize the power of Satan. It is real, and it will destroy you. Amen? All God's people said. And it is what? Against you. It is against you. What a word. It's no, how many know being a Christian today is no walk through the park? I'm a Christian, just a walk through the park, casual living. No, that's impossible. Amen? It's not casual. It's like wrestling. Amen? You have an enemy. It's like hand-to-hand combat. It's intense. It's serious. You have an enemy against you, wanting to devour you. It's a battle. It's a battle between the Lord and his army and Satan and all his powers. You all understand it? So who's it against? God and who? You and his people. And it's against who? Satan and all of his demons and all of his powers. Wow. It's intense. Amen? But I really want to say to you, the key is to know your enemy. Well, the key is, first of all, to know your God. But you also need to know your enemy. Amen?
Amen.
And the Bible tells us in so many ways who our enemy is. Ephesians 6:16, when we are commanded to put on the full armor of God in the battle we're in, right? He says, you got an enemy. Tell me what his name is. Not only his name is Satan, the Bible teaches that he is what? Read Ephesians 6:16. Paul describes him. He says what? He says, in addition, as you're taking up your shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows. Of who? Of an evil one. How many know you have an evil one? You have an evil one against you. Is that not what it says? He describes him as what? Evil. This is not some minor character flaw we're talking about. This is not, gee, this guy's just made a few mistakes. You know, but he's good. No. His nature is what? Evil. And what does he want to do to you? Evil. He wants to destroy you. Serious, isn't it? Wow. Matthew 4:3. Jesus talks about him as a tempter. How many of you know he would even tempt Jesus Christ himself? You understand that? Satan is so wicked, he would even tempt Jesus. And if he would tempt Jesus, he will tempt anybody. And he gives Jesus 3 temptations. It's called a tempter. In Matthew 4:2-3, he tests him in his flesh. Lust of the flesh. But says to Jesus, what? Turn the stones into bread. Live for yourself. Live for material things. Live for food. Just live for your flesh. Verses 8 and 9, he tempts him with the lust of the eyes. He shows him the whole world, right? You want the world? I'll give it to you. Shows him the whole world. You want all this? I'll give it to you. Finally, he tempts him with the very pride of life. Verses 5 and 6. If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. Your angels will take care of you. They'll watch over you. Satan himself was what? Full of pride. He goes to Christ and he tries to pull the same thing out. Why? He's tempting him. Tempting him with what? The flesh. Lust of the eyes. Pride of life. Amen?
Amen.
Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. You all know this one, right? Talked to a bit about Charlie the other day. He is not just the tempter. He's the accuser of the brethren. Right, Charlie? You know that, right, Charlie? Charlie told to me his church was destroyed. He said, Pastor, I just came from a church. Over what, 10 years, Charlie? 3 services, 2,000 people. He said, Pastor, we're down to what, 150 people? 200 people. 3 full services, now we're down to 1 service with half our people here. Charlie, how'd that happen? Charlie's clear. Who is it, Charlie? The accuser of the brethren. Why? He got them to accuse each other. Satan did that. Right? Satan did that. Right, Charlie? You know that, Charlie. You've been in the Lord a long time, Charlie. You know it's Satan's work, right? He accuses the brethren and separates you. You all understand that's who he is? Serious battle, guys. And guess what? He'd love to do the same thing in your marriage. He'd love to turn you against your wife. You understand that, right? He would love for you to turn against your children. You understand that, don't you? He would even accuse your children in front of you to get you to turn against them. He would accuse you to your kids and tell your kids they're not for you. Right? You understand that, right? And this is all the work of who? Satan. He is what? The accuser of the brethren. His hope is to bring division. His hope is to separate God's people. He does not want you around each other. You understand that, right? Who is he? I think Jesus gave us probably one of the best. John chapter 8, verse 44. Who is he? Here's who he is. He's a murderer. And he is a liar. Bible says in John 8, 44, when he lies, he speaks his native language. Do you understand that? When he's speaking, when he's lying, it's what? His native language. Why? He hates truth. He's not going to tell you the truth. Think about a Christian who listens to Satan. Oh my gosh. You're going to be so confused. Your life's going to be such a mess. Amen?
Amen.
You listen to God. You don't listen to Satan.
Amen.
He's going to lie to you. He's the what? He's the father of lies. You all know who he is? Some of you know who he is. You all know who he is? He's wicked.
He's a deceiver. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's out to destroy you. He hates you. He lies to you. He's the father of lies. If he could murder you, he would murder you. If he could take the life of your children, he will take the life of your children. You have a serious, serious enemy. You all know that, right? Wow.
I was listening not too long ago to a story, and I was thinking about the implications of it. Story of how Satan might have gotten together with all of his demons. And he says to all of his demons in this convention, well, we basically, our job is to keep Christians as far away from God as we possibly can. We want to be sure that they have no power to overthrow us. He says, so we just got to stick to 12 lies. If we just stick to these 12 lies in this country, we will defeat every Christian that there is. Can I tell you what the lies are? I'm going to tell you what the lies are, because they are alive and well in this country. Lie number one. Keep them so busy with non-essentials that they have very little time for the kingdom of God. Think about that. Many believe that lie. Many live in that lie. Number two. He said, constantly tell them to overspend. Don't mind getting into debt. Do what you want with your money. So we're sure they never give to the house of God. And many people believe that and live it, no doubt. Number three. Tell them to work so hard for money so that they can keep their empty lives, which are non-essential and making no difference for the kingdom of God. Keep telling them that. Work, work, work. Work for your empty life and let them believe it. Cause them to be workaholics so they do very little or nothing for the kingdom of God. How many know that's a big lie? And how many know many are living in it? Four. Listen to the fourth lie. Discourage them in their relationships with the family. Do anything to separate them so they don't get along. Do anything to keep them apart from each other. Don't let them spend a whole lot of family time together. I mean, how many Christian families are living this way? Why? It's a lie that you believed. Amen? Fifth, stimulate their minds with TV and computers so they have very little time for God. Put their computers in their hands that they walk with it all the time. Because we do not want them hearing from God. You know how many Christians fall into that lie? Everywhere. Wow. What number am I on? Six. Listen to this one. Fill their tables at home with worldly magazines and books so they have no time to read the Word of God. Man, how many Christians are living that way? Wow, a lot. And it's all based on a lie. And you believed it. Wow. Seven. I love this one. Tell them to keep chasing the dream so they can go to their local stores and find $1 million, $2 million sweepstakes. And they can buy their tickets for $1 and $5. Keep them in that bondage. Let them try living that way for the rest of their life. It's a lie. Disturbs me when I go to a store and see Christians in line, believe in the lie. Let me buy more tickets. And then they come to church, they give nothing to God. You're living a lie. Number eight, listen to eight. Put glamorous models on TVs and magazines so that when the men get home, they don't want their wives. They want the girl they saw in the book. And the women look at themselves and say, we don't meet that standard, so you're not good. Keep telling them that. Let them live that way. That will destroy their marriage and their whole family. You understand that one? Boy, what a lie. Millions of Christians don't fall into it. Amen? Number nine. Keep couples so exhausted. This is a real true one. Keep couples so working, so exhausted from all the things they do in a day that they have very little time for each other. How many of you are guilty of that?
You believed a lie. Wow. Should I go on, or you already, or you're all done? Say, Pastor, keep going. You all good with this or no? You want to hear the rest, or you say, Pastor, I can't handle it anymore? You want the rest? You want the rest? You want the rest or no? Or am I going to kill you? Listen, I'm not just talking to you. I'm talking to me. I'm living in this world too. Don't eliminate me. I got a battle too. Actually, you guys should be praying for me. Preach the word, Pastor, because you've got an enemy who wants to destroy your pastor. Do you understand that or no? Oh, let him preach the word, but he's good. And what do? You sit back. You're cool. No. You better be praying. Amen.
Amen.
What number am I on? 10? All right, here's a 10. Emphasize to the world Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny so that they forget Jesus Christ. How many fall into that lie? Everybody. Many. Number 11. Oh, I love this one because this one is like right on. I see this in this church. Tell people there are some good worldly causes around that they can give their money to. Other good causes, but don't let them give their money to the Church of Jesus Christ and be faithful in their tithe. Show them a different way, that they can use their money in a different way. And, oh, yes, they're good causes. It is filled with deception. You are walking in a lie. The father of lies has convinced you of a lie. I say, bring your tithe into the church. Oh, no, I bring it somewhere else. Well, why? Oh, I believe I have the right to do that. I can go do whatever I want with my money. You have believed the lie. Oh, I got good things to do. You believe the lie. The house of God. You put the house of God above everything. Amen?
Amen.
Do you believe this or not? And I'm not saying this because I'm a pastor. I'm telling you because it's the word of God. It's his house, his kingdom. You bring your money into that place. You want to tithe? You want to offer somewhere else? Make your offering somewhere. But bring your tithe into the house of God. And all God's people said.
Amen.
What number am I on? Oh, 12. Oh, 12 is good. Here's 12. Tell them, keep telling them, you are self-sufficient. You can do anything on your own. So that they never know the power of God and how to live a godly life with the power of God operating in their life so that they speak, the word of God comes out in power. We don't want them doing that. So you lie to them. You just keep telling them that you're self-sufficient. But you never operate in the power of God. You know how many people, Christians, are falling into these? And they're all what? They're all lies. Every single one of them is a lie. And very alive in this country. You would all say, well, yeah amen. It's pretty serious stuff, amen?
Amen.
But here's what I want to say to you. Are you ready? We need to turn the tide. Are you ready to turn the tide? Let's turn the tide. Ephesians 6:10 turns the tide. When you read the battle and you understand, remember that first chart I gave you? Who's the first chart? Can you get that? Can we go back over that chart, or is that too hard? The one on the life and where it comes out of obedience and victory. Remember that one? Right there. Where does it come from? Your depth of your relationship with God. How many of you already know that? Person said, well, I don't have time for God. You are in turmoil and you don't have time for God? Wake up. Please wake up. You are being wickedly deceived. The essence of your life will be found in God. You want to believe a lie? You don't have time for God? You don't have time for the Word? You don't have time for prayer? You are destroying your relationship with God. You will not be victorious, and you will be disobedient. And if the Lord can get you, He'll get your kids, He'll get your spouse, He will destroy all of it. Y'all understand that, right? So what's the key? Let's go back to the other verse. Go back to Ephesians 6:10. Let's look at it. What's he saying? What's the answer? Verse 10 is what? Finally. Thank you, Lord. Finally. What's the final? What? No, keep going forward. Wait, forward. We got all those. We got all the... Way ahead. Can you go keep going? Finally, what? Keep going. Go up to Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brothers and my sisters, what? Be what?
Strong
in the Lord and in His mighty power. You remember the lie? You're strong in yourself. You can do it yourself. That is a lie. Finally, my brothers. Who's he talking to? Christians. Listen, non-believers are already destroyed. Amen? They are already ineffective. It's not the target. You are. And the answer is what? Finally, you are what? You are to be strong in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Wow. You see, every person is born into a cosmic battle. You all know that, right? Who's born into a cosmic battle? Everybody. And when a person becomes a Christian, they now enter into God's army. You all understand that? When you became a Christian, you went into the army of God. And Satan has a system with his demons. But God's got an army, and where are you? You're in God's army. And the warfare is taking place. But you're in whose? God's army. Right? So if you're in God's army, then be strong in the Lord. Amen? Don't go around like, oh, I'm weak in God. I don't have a prayer life. The Spirit of God's not working. No word is in me. No, this is a command. Tell me what the command is for you as a believer. You got a lot of warnings. What's the command? Command is what? You got to be strong. So you say, Pastor, I'm going down. Pastor, I can't make it through life anymore. Pastor, I'm overwhelmed. You know what I'm going to say to you? Be strong in the Lord. Pastor, my life's falling apart. Fine. Be strong in the Lord. Pastor, my family's falling apart. Fine. Be strong in the Lord. Pastor, I'm not sure if I can make it. Be strong in the Lord. Do what the Bible tells you to do. Why aren't you doing that? Is that not true? Is that not what the Bible says? Is that not what it says? Finally. Be strong in the Lord. Wow. So the only way you're going to win. The only way you're going to win is what? You have got to be where? In the Lord. In Acts chapter 17, remember what Paul says? I live, and I move, and I find my being. Remember that scripture? I live, I find my being. Where do you find your being? In the Lord. So when this warfare is going on, where are you? Well, maybe I should ask you, where are you when all this warfare is going on? Because it's intense, it's intensifying, and it's going to get worse. So where are you? Hopefully you'll say what? Who said it? In the Lord. You're in the Lord, Tony. That's right. Every Christian ought to say, Pastor, I am in the Lord. If you can't say you're in the Lord, and you are in this kind of intensity, you're going to lose. This is no fooling around. Are you okay with this kind of preaching? Because I'm stirred up. I'm stirred up. Fine, I'm stirred up. Yeah. Why am I stirred up? Because I'm seeing some of God's people destroyed. I said, we called you to be a pastor, then preach the word. Tell the people what's going on. Wake up. It's real. You do not be casual about this. You do not make excuses. I don't can't pray. I can't read my Bible. You are a what? Soldier. And you are in God's army, right? If you're a believer.
Amen.
You were transferred into His army. You're now in His army. You be strong in the Lord. See this book? This is a general of all generals saying this is the book. This is how you live. You don't do anything else but what says in this book. So many Christians say, well, I'm tired. I can't do it. Be strong in the Lord. Some Christians operate in their flesh, right? I'm going to tell you something about your flesh. Your flesh counts for nothing. You think you're good because you give little money. You think you're good because you don't serve much. You think you're fine because you're living the life you want to live. One day you're going to stand before God and God's going to say, that was flesh. All that stuff you did counts for nothing. The only thing that matters is you followed me. You lived for me. You put your strength in me. That'll be the only thing. You guys get this, right? How many are getting it? Hopefully you're getting it the older you're getting, right? Because guess what? It's getting close. For some of you, it's getting close because your time's getting close. You're getting older. Wake up. For some of you, the Lord might come back. You better be wake up. Amen? But either way, you better be strong in the Lord. Finally, be strong in the Lord. Listen to God. Do what God tells you to do. If God says give, then give. God says serve, then serve. God says be generous, be generous. God says you're in the army, then you're in the army. Stop arguing. you. He's your creator. He put you here. Self is wicked. Can you at least admit that? The self in you tries to control is wicked. And what does it do for you? Dissatisfies your very soul. You're ending up in more turmoil. You think, well, I'm the answer for myself. You are in more turmoil. You're more discouraged. You're more depressed. That's right. Why? Because you're not strong in the Lord. Because you're not obeying the Word of God. The Word is clear, right? Be what? Strong in the Lord. Find your life in Him. When things get rough, turn to Him. I said it today. I was wondering, okay, Lord, we surrender. I'm thinking, who surrenders in this place? Oh, you can sing the song. I'm tired of singing songs. Are you? I want the reality of actually living in it. Christians know it on their head, but there's no reality inside them. They are dead. Is that okay? It's true. I'm tired of just hearing it. I want the reality of living a victorious life. Do you? Or you say, well, I got the words. Yeah. Be strong in the Lord and be strong in the power of God. Let me ask you something. What's the opposite of good? Bad. What's the opposite of right? What's the opposite of Satan? Wrong. You're all wrong. You're wrong. You know that, right? Let's go over this again. So get the right answer this time. The opposite of good. The opposite of right. The opposite of, what is the other one I said? My memory's going. Okay, we'll get to it. The opposite of Satan. It can't be God. Good and darkness are equal, right? Right and wrong, we got them on the same par. Satan and God are not on the same par, are they? Do you have in your mind Satan and God are at the same par? Your theology's all messed up. God created Satan. Satan and God aren't together. Satan has no power over God. You think they're really going to go into battle? And God says, who's going to win this battle? As if they're equal? How many of you believe that? Oh my gosh, I hope you don't. Yeah, when I said it to you, what? You all said, oh yeah. God. No, it's not God. God is superior. God is stronger. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Amen? When Christ came, He had victory over Satan, right? At the very end of the book of Revelation, what's Christ going to do with Satan? He's going to throw him in the pit of hell. How could they be equal? They're not. Do you understand that? The power of God, right? If you understand that, tell me if you really get it, what would happen? You would throw yourself down before God. You would say, I can't win this battle. Nobody can win this battle. It's too intense. My only answer is what? God. You believe that? Because I'll tell you what, if you do, when there's time to worship, you worship. When there's opportunity to give, you give. When there's opportunity to let your voice be heard from God, you let your voice be heard from God. Because it's not you. Amen? It's God. You surrender. You throw yourself at God. Do you actually think in this battle you can win? How many of you actually think in this intensity of this type of warfare you can win? Some Christians do. I see it. I hear it all the time. It scares the living daylights out of me. You need to be rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. You need to know the power of the cross, the life of Jesus Christ, and how He rose from the dead and brought victory to all those who are in Him. That is what you need to be rooted in. So when life gets rough, you know where to go. It's amazing to me when turmoil happens and Satan starts to work. Christians don't know where to go. I'm telling you right now, right? Where are you going? You go to God. You go directly to Him. You throw yourself down. You go, God, I need your help. God, I need your grace. God, you got to get me through. Unless there's something in you that thinks you actually can get yourself out. Oh, wow. You are going to be in huge amount of turmoil. You get this, right? How many of you get what I'm talking about? Like, Pastor, yeah, I don't get all. I know you do. You've been in this church long enough, and you've listened to me. You know it then. Now, whether you live it is your choice. I'd love to force you, but I can't. My heart is for you. I love you so much. I want to see you in heaven. I want to see you living the victorious life. I want to see God use you in these difficult times. That's my heart for you. I can't force you, though. You're going to have to go to God on your own. You're going to have to get down on your hands and knees and say, you know what? Finally, brothers and sisters. Amen? You put your trust in the Lord and Him. He'll see you through. He has the power. You and I don't. Do you understand? You all get this or not? How many get the reality of this? Believe me, if you get the reality of this, really, you're going to throw yourself at God. You're going to go, God, this is serious. I need to be found in You. I'm going to be strong in You, God. How many of you, when stuff are going on right now, you would actually say, in the turmoil you're in, because I know you're all in turmoil, and you know I'm in turmoil. We're all in turmoil. But let me ask you, in your turmoil, where's your strength come from? Who do you look to? Where do you go? See, some of you know the truth, but you don't live it. So you're stuck. I say to you, get real with God. Get really real with God. Because this isn't fooling around. This is not fooling around. You have serious enemies out to destroy you. And if you're hitting bottom, you're in a good place. How many of you sometimes bottom is the best place to be? I'm serious, really. You believe me? What's the best place for you to be? Bottom. I can't do anything. Good, it's about time you got there. Because if a man almost gets there, but he's not there, what's he going to do? Keep fighting. I don't want to go down. I don't want to go down. And then what happens? More turmoil, more depression, more discouragement. Go down. It's not about you. You're not going to get out on your own. Resolve the issue. And go to God and say what? I'm going to be what? Strong in the Lord. And I'm going to be strong in the power. Write it down. Power of God. Not the power of self. Because self is not going anywhere. You're going to be strong in the what? How many of you can do this? How many are dealing with situations now? I'm telling you, you know the answer. I need to operate in the power of God. How many of you are operating in the power of God? Are you? Okay. I want to encourage all of you. You can do this. This is not impossible. Amen? He died on the cross for you, right? He's given you His direction, right? He's given you His Holy Spirit. Is the Spirit of God living in you? When you got saved, well, let me remind you. When you got saved, the Spirit of God came. Spirit's a person. He's living inside of you. And He has what? Power. You all know that? You rely on that power to get you through what you're going through. Yes or no? Are we all set? Really? Are you all right? Serious. I know I got stirred up a little bit, but I should. And guess what? So should you! Really? Right? Say, Pastor, we're on fire for God. Satan's not going to defeat us. We're going to make a difference for Christ. That is the attitude of a believer. Why? You're a soldier. You're in the army of God. You're no wimp. Don't be a wimp in God. Here's a wimp. I'm so discouraged today. It's getting so hard. Stop being a wimp. I don't know if I can handle it anymore. Stop being a wimp. Go to God. Let God give you strength. Let God give you grace. Let God give you mercy. Let God deliver you. Let God get you out. You're not getting out on your own. How many of you have ever gotten that place where you know the truth, but then you got these behaviors that are all wrong? Come on, let's get honest now, okay? I read my Bible, I know what it says, but oh, woe is me. Listen, go to God. Don't waste any time. Throw yourself at God. That's why He put you on this earth. Amen? Wow. All God's people said. Amen. Well, today we're blessed. I've asked our friend who's here from Florida to come, and he's going to sing a song for us this morning in closing.